and we talk about holiness, and we talk about sanctification, and we talk about righteousness, and then what happens? You know, we put these terms way out there, and people kind of look in their mind and say, well, I could never be that. And so, you know, we begin to think that those are terms that are too far out for us to conceive or even to be able to achieve.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Perfection Personified, Jesus Was a Perfectly Moral and Righteous Man, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Perfection Personified, Jesus Was a Perfectly Moral and Righteous Man.
As we begin our message today, we want to highlight what we've been talking about. And we've been dealing with the issue that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. We talked about the fact that there are some people that say when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't sufficient enough for our salvation, that he had to actually go to hell and fight the devil, and then at that point, we received atonement. So those people don't know who Jesus is. We've talked about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and how that some people think that that was just a regular angel, and we pointed out the fact that that was actually Jesus Christ. And so everybody doesn't know who Jesus is. Well, as we have the message today, we're going to examine a group of people who actually think that Jesus Christ lived an immoral life when he was here on this earth. And as we think about that, I want to speak to you on this subject, that Jesus Christ, when he came here as a man, that he was perfection personified. That he lived a absolutely perfect, immoral life when he came. And so that's what we want to deal with this morning. As we examine all levels of society, we see that there are many individuals who believe that Jesus Christ lived an immoral life. Now, the sad thing is that there are some Christians that feel Jesus Christ did not live a sinless life. You have that first one? All right, Christians. All right, it keeps going over. Well, let me share with you that there was a survey that was done by the Barna Group in 2008, and they found that 38% of people who identified themselves as born again did not believe Jesus lived a sinless life here on this earth. What a tragedy it is that when God's people don't understand that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, then we know that the world, if they have any doubts or skepticism at all, that is just reinforced as they see believers who feel this same way also. Also, in the minds of the general population, it is the common belief. Do you guys have that overhead working? Okay, here we go. It is the common belief in the minds of the general population that Jesus Christ had lived a morally corrupted life. Now look at some of the things that they point out. And again, I have research to back all this up, so I'm just not putting a bunch of facts up here on the overhead. They say that he was inhumane because he killed a herd of pigs. If you remember when there was two demons and they bade Christ that when he cast them out of these two individuals, that they go into this herd of swine that was feeding, and Jesus cast out these demons, and they went into this herd of pigs, and if you remember, the pigs ran down the hill, and they ran into the sea, and they all drowned it, or they all drowned. And somebody said, if Christ was this loving, compassionate individual, how could he kill 2,000, Mark tells us it was 2,000 pigs. How could he kill 2,000 pigs? There are others that say that Christ preached the breakup of the family. He made a comment in the Gospels where he said that when he came, he would divide father and mother and sister and brother. And so people have looked at that and said, look at the immorality of Christ. He came to break up families. We see that on one occasion, he went into the temple. He saw some money changers. And the Bible says that he created a whip and he began to drive people out of the temple. And somebody said, well, look, he couldn't even control his anger. And then even at the last point there, that he was abusive to men, the fact that he would make a whip and drive them out. How could he claim that he was such a righteous and moral individual? They talk about the fact that he, on one occasion, destroyed a fig tree and that, you know, here he had disrespect for nature. So, you know, people are doing a lot of things to discredit Jesus Christ. And here is a situation right here that even in the general public, that these ideas, these philosophies are in the minds of some individuals. We see that even in Hollywood, that they present Jesus Christ as less than a moral individual. When we look at movies such as Jesus Christ Superstar and The Da Vinci Code, that they tend to suggest that Jesus Christ has some immoral tendencies. They have him having inappropriate thoughts for women as he was lusting in his heart. And some even accused him of having unlawful relationships, and that is sexual relationships with women and not even being married. And so this, again, presents Jesus Christ in the light of immorality. And even in college universities, when one of the most dangerous places you can be today as far as theology and as far as morality sometimes is the college university. Now, I went to a secular university, so I ran into it and I faced this myself. But you have a lot of college professors who are teaching everything else but what is right. I mean, they might know the subject that they're teaching, but when it comes down to dealing with issues of faith and Christianity, some of them are misguided. As a matter of fact, here is one college professor, and I took a quote from what he said on his blog, and this was things that he was sharing with his students, that Jesus Christ is indecent, outspoken, and known to be violent. So what you just think about some of the scriptures that I just pointed out that they use to teach that Jesus is immoral, and you can see where he is surmising some of his information from. Jesus Christ is indecent, outspoken, and known to be violent. He keeps bad company because he hung out with publicans and sinners. He hung out with the dregs of society. He is no role model for ordinary decent folk who just want to get on with their lives and has absolutely wacko opinions on just about everything. He is quite simply immoral. Now, this is a college professor that would be teaching these things to college students. Now, once again, I'm not going to broad brush every college professor because there are some college professors that love the Lord and that are Christians. So I'm not going to broad brush them all. But in the classrooms in a lot of universities across our country, these are some of the ideas that are being promoted. And then finally, one atheist who calls himself, he seems to be a self-proclaimed individual who is an expert on the immorality of Jesus Christ. And he identifies himself as Mr. Dan. And this is what Mr. Dan says. He says that Jesus of Nazareth was not the nicest guy at all the time. Personal flaws are something we can tolerate in normal, mortal, imperfect humans and can even add a great deal of charm to a person's character. But when we deal with a demagogue who is said to be the Messiah, flaws are not something we would expect to find nor something we could tolerate. And then he concludes by saying this, Jesus is a less than perfect moral leader. So if we think that this is not an issue today, it is. You know, some of the times the problem is that we're in the church all the time. And we're among a group of people who believe that Jesus is Lord. And we worship him and we praise him. And we come together and basically we sit here and we don't get any opposition at all because we all agree. And we all are excited and sing songs about his glory and sing songs about his perfection. But this is not the same attitude toward Jesus Christ out in the world. You know, sometimes I think we live in this bubble, you know, where we fellowship and we're around Christians and we don't get that rubbing up against hardcore opposition that is out there. And even on our job sometimes, you know, we've been doing a series on Wednesday afternoons in Bible study talking about witnessing and how we can be more effective in our witness. And one of the things that I was pointing out is that, you know, when you're on your job and your boss is paying you to work, that, you know, you can't be spending 8 hours trying to share the gospel with folks. You know, you've been hired to do a job and you got to work. And so a lot of times, even in the workplace, you know, there's not that rubbing up against, even though we might get it sometimes, generally there's not that rubbing up against, you know, where we are being persecuted, as Donna shared earlier about what's going on in Pakistan, that people around the world are being persecuted for their faith. They are being killed for their faith. And, you know, we live in generally a society that is not that antagonistic as far as wanting to kill us, but they are very antagonistic as far as, you know, trying to destroy the Christian faith and trying to degrade Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we need to understand, well, what is the nature of Jesus Christ? And so, you know, I want to say, first of all, that he was a moral individual. He was a very moral and a perfectly righteous man. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about this idea of Jesus Christ being the God-man. And what does that mean when we say that he was the God-man? That's a powerful concept when you think about that. But this week, we want to focus just on him being a man. What was his character like as a man? And one of the best places for us to turn to is Matthew chapter 5, because it kind of contains all the information right there that we need. And it talks about the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are principles that God has set forth in the kingdom for us to live by. So if you are a child of God and you want to know what the standard for living is, then you ought to open up to Matthew chapter 5 and you ought to read that, because this is the standard for morality. This is the standard that each Christian should strive to attain. He says in chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And then he goes on to talk about being blessed when you are persecuted and how that God has a great reward for you in heaven. But as we look at these first seven Beatitudes, these are character qualities that were resident in Jesus Christ, and that should be something that we as Christians all seek to achieve and that we strive for. Notice the first thing that he says here. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Jesus Christ was selfless. When you think about the fact that here he was, God of very gods. Here he was in fellowship with the Father. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ was exalted from all eternity. But what did he do? He humbled himself, and he became a man. And not only that, but he became obedient to the cross in his selfless spirit. And you know, the problem is with many of us is that we don't look at Jesus Christ, and we don't take this example, and, you know, it's all about us. You know, that our feelings have been hurt, that we have been done wrong. And so, you know, our spirit is what? To buck up and try to rebel against anything that comes against us. But Jesus Christ, he submitted himself to the Father because he realized that he was dependent on the Lord. He had a selfless spirit. And I like what the idea here is of being a selfless spirit. It says here, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who are void of any vestures of spiritual self-energy or effort. The songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Do you have a selfless spirit? Do you realize that there's nothing in you that deserves to be saved? There's nothing in you that cries out for God to look upon you and smile and say, hey, this person is all right. There's nothing in us. But you know what? Jesus Christ, even though he didn't have to do it, he became poor in spirit. The second thing we see is that when you talk about his morality, that he was empathetic. Look what it says here. Blessed are they that mourn. Jesus Christ felt the needs of others. When they hurt, he hurt. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. You know, the problem that we have in our society today is that we turn on our TV and, you know, we read about somebody getting murdered over here. Even as Donna shared this morning about the people in Pakistan that were killed, we hear about, you know, people getting killed. We hear about people dying in car accidents. We hear about all these things. And you know what happens? There's something that's going around, and it's called compassion fatigue. And we begin to lose that compassion. We don't have that sympathy and that empathy in our heart anymore for those who are hurting. And Jesus Christ, you know, they talk about he was immoral, but he felt the hurts in people's heart. He saw the needs that people had. And the Bible says on more than one occasion that he was moved with compassion. You know what this means? The word compassion in the Bible speaks of the bowels. And what it means is that when he saw hurting people and when he saw needs, that there was something that was deep down in his bowels that just moved him and hurt in his soul and ached in his soul. And so we have to ask ourselves, what has happened, you know, to our compassion? You know, when we look at our country and people can beat somebody up right on the street and people walk right by it. You know, where's our compassion at? You know, when, you know, I was sharing, and sometimes, you know, we might have to have something happen to us, you know, before we start having compassion. You know, I think of when I had my problem with my leg, and, you know, here I was, you know, dealing with this infection in my leg, 9 surgeries, you know, on my leg. And I remember sitting at home, and there was a program that came on, and it talked about leprosy around the world. And, you know, up until this point, I had, you know, I thought leprosy pretty much was a problem that they had back in the Bible. I didn't know that it was an issue today. But then they were talking about how that this one lady had got leprosy, and it began to eat away her limbs and eat at her nose and face, and how that her husband didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore. And in that country, you know, the woman was totally dependent on the man, and he just put her out, and she was out there left to fend for her own. They showed this little boy that had leprosy and how that he wasn't able to get around and play with other little kids, and how that he was confined to the house, never to go outside. And as I sit there and looked at my leg and saw what I was struggling with in my leg, and then I saw these people that had leprosy, man, something just struck in my heart. And I said, Lord, you know, at some point, I'm hoping that you touch my leg and you heal my leg. But here these individuals are dealing with this disease, and they'll never be able to get rid of it. And there was just something that hit me in my heart. There was something that hit me in my spirit. So we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, where's our empathy? Have we lost that ability to feel the hurts and the needs of other people. And thank God that Jesus Christ was not immoral, because if he was, maybe he would have lost this whole piece of compassion, that it wouldn't have been something that was a part of his character. We see that Jesus Christ was humble. In the Beatitudes, it said, blessed are the meek. And we have heard this definition over and over again, that the meek, it means to have power under control. That Jesus Christ was God. And you know, I began to think about this, and I'll try to, you know, clean this up as much as I can. But just think about this. If Jesus Christ was an immoral individual, with all the clout that he had, he could have done basically whatever he wanted to do. I mean, he had, if you really think about it, he had women worshiping at his feet, pouring oil, right? Wiping the oil with his hair, with their hair. He had people coming after him. If this guy was immoral, he could have taken advantage of so many people who had given themselves to him. Just think of, we have preachers today, as much as I hate to admit this, as much as I hate to say it, we have preachers today who are slicksters, who are shysters. And I pray to God, and I say, you know, Lord, you know, there are people that come and listen to me preach. And Lord, help me not to say things, you know, for my own selfish purposes. Lord, because I realize that as you sit there, one of the things that you're doing is that you are, at this moment, placing, you know, your soul, which is the most valuable thing you have, you are placing your soul under the authority of what I'm saying. And so I have to be careful that I just don't say things and for my own interest. And so here we have people that come and they place their souls under the voice of a human being. And the sad thing, there are so many human beings that have the wrong motives. And they take that and they use it for their own purposes. You know, how many pastors have we read about that have taken advantage, have fleeced the flock, has fleeced the congregation in so many ways? And just think, if Jesus Christ was immoral to any degree, just think how much he could have fleeced the people of his day. But thank God that we serve a perfect Savior. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin, that Jesus Christ knew no sin. And so he had this power, right, where at times he chose to use it, and at times he didn't use it. At times he would heal folk. At times he would restore the blind. At times he would feed people with just a little bit of food. So he had all this power in his possession, but it was what? It was power under control. Why? Because he was humble. He was a humble individual. The next thing we see is that Jesus Christ was righteous. The Bible said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus Christ was it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Perfection Personified. Jesus was a perfectly moral and righteous man. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Perfection Personified, Jesus was a perfectly moral and righteous man, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Perfection Personified, Jesus was a perfectly moral and righteous man. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Perfection Personified, Jesus was a perfectly moral and righteous man. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.